All right, everybody say God is good.
God is good.
Yes, He is. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you, Pastor Daniel and Athena. And I love this church, and I'm excited to be with you to celebrate 47 years. I was chatting with Pastor Doug via text this morning, and I said, how many people can say that they're celebrating 47 years at the same church? Isn't that amazing? Right? And that a pastor like me could even say, I've spoken at a church's 47th anniversary. It's quite an achievement. And you guys should be proud, and I'm proud of you, and I think God's going to do even more things in the future that we haven't even begun to think of. Because God's always in the business of doing good things. Isn't that true? Some of you are nodding like, yeah, I'm sure. Yes, it is true. It is true. How many of you like just a good old-fashioned PB&J? That stands for peanut butter and jelly, if anybody doesn't know. Raise your hand high. You just like a good old-fashioned peanut butter. Some of you are like, no, I have a nut allergy. You know, there's this feud going on with my wife and I. Really not with my wife and I, but actually it's caused almost a church split at Fusion Christian Church. It's who makes peanut butter and jelly correctly. My wife, this is how she makes it. She gets a piece of bread and another piece of bread, as is customary to have two pieces of bread for the sandwich. And she gets the peanut butter Jif, and then jelly, usually grape. Jif, always Jif, never Skip, Skippy, Peter Pan, because that's gross. Only Jif, right? Which is Jesus is faithful. So she brings Jif over, and she gets the peanut butter, and she puts a very thick spread of peanut butter on the one piece of bread. Really thick. Really, really thick. So thick. And then she gets a little itty bitty bit of jelly, and then she grabs the two pieces, and she joins them as one family. And then she lays it on the plate, and then she has a very specific way. She's very intentional of cutting her peanut butter diagonal. You got to cut it diagonal, because otherwise it ruins the taste. Some of you people are weird. And then there's how I make it. I take my piece of bread and I stick another, you know, unwanted piece of bread over here. And then I take peanut butter and I put on a normal amount. Not so much that when you take a bite you're like... I put a normal amount of peanut butter on there, and then I grab the grape jelly. Sometimes I'll do different, like, you know, orange marmalade or something like that, because I have a great palate for lots of different flavors. So I grab, you know, maybe some apple butter, I don't know, and I put it on there, a normal amount on top of the peanut butter. See, some of you, let's just pray for salvation in this church. Lord, Jesus, come. And then I take this poor abandoned piece of bread that feels like it has no home. And I join it to the family. And then you know what I do? I eat it without cutting it. I know. It's amazing God loves me at all. This has caused such a controversy at Fusion Christian Church. I wanted to bring the controversy here. And I wanted you to pick a team, because as I was telling you this, many of you picked a side. Many of you are like, oh no, I can't even believe they let him speak here if that's the way he makes peanut butter and jelly. And you've picked a team already, and you've said, oh no, I'm with Laura. I literally, for weeks, had people coming up to me at my church saying, yeah, you do it wrong, Pastor. People, like, the only thing they remember about my message is what a screw-up I am when I make my peanut butter and jelly. I want to ask you this morning this question, and I want you to think hard about the answer, because we're going to talk about it this morning, and that's this. Which team are you on? I want you to think about that in your life. I want you to think about that in your marriage. I want you to think about that in this church. And most importantly, I want you to think about that with your relationship to Jesus. Which team are you on? And that is the question I want to go through your mind as we talk over the next few moments. Because you are on a team. You might not know it, but you are on one. You've picked one. And what we want to know today is if you have chosen the correct team. Far beyond peanut butter and jelly making abilities, this team has eternal consequences. As we continue our series from last night, this whole aspect of being freed to serve. Can everybody say that with me out loud? Freed to serve. Not slaved to serve, not forced to serve, but freed to serve. Now, last night we reminded ourselves that freedom is the kingdom that God has called us to live in. He's called us to live in this relationship with Him that brings so much freedom from things that hold us back, things that bind us, things that cause us depression and anxiety and fear and doubt and all these things in our life. And we have all these freedoms. We have freedom, the free gift of salvation. We have freedom from the bondage to sin. We have freedom from eternal condemnation, because everybody wants that, don't we? There's not a single person on this planet that does not want freedom from condemnation. And then on top of all that, like the jelly on the peanut butter, God gives us free eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's a lot of great free stuff. How many would agree with that? So the question is, that we posed last night, is now what do I do with all of this freedom? What does God want me to do with all of this free stuff that He has been so gracious to give me through Jesus Christ? Well, let's remind ourselves our theme verse for this weekend is Galatians chapter 5. Here's what it says. For you have been called. Everyone say, I have been called. This is personal. It's not somebody else's call. It's not the guy down the street. It's not the girl at the store. It's your call. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, that's a big word, instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. In the context of this verse, we have a choice. We have a choice to pick, if you will, what team we're going to be on. And what we might not know, and what you might not know today, is that God actually wants you on His team. Anybody here remember high school? You maybe have a nightmares about it, about being the last person picked on the team, right? Like, oh man, nobody wants me. You know, some people feel that way about God. God doesn't really want me on His team. God doesn't really want me in His family. The Bible uses all kinds of great words to describe our relationship with Him. Pastor Daniel talked about Him calling us friends. The Bible uses the term family, all the adopted, children, heirs, all these things. It's basically, we're part of what God is doing. When I say team, I'm not talking just about a sports team. And I'm definitely not talking about the Raiders, because God's not on that team. But I'm talking about God's team, this whole aspect of I'm with God. I'm not against Him. And so as we think about that in our life, we need to know that we are on a team. You are on a team. The question is, which one are you on? Now, Jesus preached this very famous sermon, set of sermons, if you will, called the Olivet Discourse. And in this whole sermon series, He preached on things like the parable of the tenants, the generous widow, will there be marriage in heaven, the destruction of the temple, His second coming, final judgment, all kinds of things that He talked about. Too much for us to go over today, but we're going to talk about one aspect of this very famous set of sermons, and that is the story of the sheep and the goats. Now, I just want you to look around, and I want you to judge the person sitting next to you. And I want you to wonder, is that a sheep or is that a goat? Okay? And I'm not talking about their physical, like I always thought you looked like a goat. I'm not talking about their physical appearance. But I want you to think, I think you're a goat. I've always thought my husband is a goat, Pastor, ever since I heard that. Whatever, you decide right now. The truth is, all jokes aside, only God knows. Yes. Only God knows. And as we go through the story, we're going to answer this question, what does it mean to be freed to serve? What? How does that apply to my life? Why does it matter? Is this just a fun verse to have for an anniversary convention? I mean, did Pastor Daniel have a bowl full of verses and he goes, which one? Eeny, meeny, miny. Oh, it looks like it's this one. Yes, probably. But listen, we can do good things. No, he prayed about it. He thought about it. He said, hey, there's a reason this is in the Bible, so that we might learn from it. And we might answer the question, God, what does it really mean that you have freed me to serve? And why does that matter? Why is that significant to my eternity? Today, you are on one of two teams. I want to pose it to you this way. You are on one of two teams. You are on the serve team. That's where you serve Christ with your life. Let me help you understand what that means. It doesn't mean you're just on a team at church. It means you serve Christ. You're going to hear this a lot this morning. By serving others. You're on a serve team. Or you are on the serve me team. The serve me team stands for people who just want everyone to do stuff for them. They treat God as his servant. They say, God, I'm in this relationship for what's in it for me. God, I don't want to do anything for you. I want you to do everything for me. And then we turn that mindset into our relationships with other people. I'm on a serve me team. I want you to serve me. How many love it when people want others, you know, are around people that just, all they want is you to serve them? No one loves that. The truth is, God doesn't either. So you're on one of two teams this morning. That's how I'm going to pose it to you. You are on the serve team, or you are on the serve me team. There's only two teams. There's not a middle team. There's not an extra team. There's not a side team. There's only one of two. You're either on the serve team, or you're on the serve me team. Which one are you on? You have to listen carefully as we go through this, because whatever team you're on has eternal consequences. It matters for eternity. There's consequences. For instance, let me help you understand it this way. Where's Jefe? Is here? Is Jeff here? Oh, there you are. Oh, yeah, I see you. My old enemy. One time, long ago, Rojo over here, he was one of my youth helpers when I was the youth pastor here, and we played dodgeball. And as is natural and as is right, we destroyed all the teenagers. He was on one team and I was on another team. I think one kid still has mental issues because we hit him so hard with the dodgeball. And Jeff and I were the last two men standing. And so we decided that we were going to charge each other with the dodgeball. And I'm like, for Sparta! And we run. And I jump to get out of the way of Jeff running. Who wouldn't? And I went to the left. Jeff theoretically should have went to his left, but instead went to his right, clipped me on the feet. I did a flip, and I'm going through the air. No! Land on my back, and since then, I've had to have two back surgeries. I don't blame Jeff, I just hold it against him. Here's the thing. Whatever decision we make in life, whatever team we're on, has eternal consequences. I forgive you. Has eternal consequences in our life. Now, as we go through this story of the sheep and the goats, what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to read you the whole story. Because I never want to assume that you have read the story and you know what it says. Now, it's a little lengthy, but I want you to understand as we read it that God's teaching us something. Remember, when we read Scripture, there's a reason it's in the Bible. It's not just for our reading pleasure. It's not the small print after the movie. This has an important meaning for us. So as we go through it, we're going to pull out a few truths to answer the question, what does it mean to be free to serve? Matthew 25 is where we're at, and we're going to start in verse 31. It says, "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in His presence, and He will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left." Let's stop right there for one second, because right now we learn some very important things that people have a lot of questions about. Three things we learn from this passage right now. Number one, Jesus, our good shepherd, is returning as the hope of the world and the King of Kings. That is an absolute in Scripture. Jesus is coming again. We see that right here. The other thing we learn is that when He comes, all nations, everyone say all nations. All nations will stand before Him. That means no one is exempt from any time in history. Everyone must stand before the Lord. And then in that time, there will be a separation of people for judgment. This is very important. There'll be a separation of people for judgment, and then He'll judge. Now, it was customary in those times that Jesus is using a lot of terminology here that people in that culture would have recognized. It was customary in those times for the shepherds when they brought their herds in at the end of the day. Jesus here is talking about the last day. At the end of the day, the shepherds would bring the sheep and the goats and they would separate them because often the goats were hostile to the sheep. But during the day, they would often graze them together. That's symbolic of our life. Did you know that wherever you go, whether your home, your work, your hobbies, your church, there's always going to be people who love God, and there's going to be people who don't love God. There's going to be people who are for God and people who are hostile towards God. People who are on the serve team and people who are on the serve me team. No matter where you go, you're going to have that mix of people. And what it's talking about here is at the end, God's going to come down, Jesus is going to come down, he's going to separate those people and divide them up. And so when the people heard the story, they grasped what Jesus was talking about, because at the end of the day, that's what they did. Those that have faith and those that don't. Acts 17 puts it this way. It says, "For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead." How do I know if I'm part of the serve team or the serve me team? To answer that question, we're going to continue with the story. Verse 31. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.' Then the king will turn to those on his left. 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me.' Then they will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?' And he will answer, 'I tell you the truth, when you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me.' And they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life." Everyone say, great story. So which team are you on? I want you to think about that, because it's a challenging question that we have to answer. In fact, it's one of the most serious questions you will ever answer in your entire life. Which team am I on? Am I a goat or am I a sheep? Which one? You will know the answer in your heart. No one else can really judge that except for the Lord. But you have to evaluate. The Bible says that we're often to evaluate ourselves and examine our lives and say, God, am I serving you in a right manner? Am I following after your word? Am I being obedient to what you've called me to do? Am I on the serve team or am I on the serve me team? How do you know if you're on the right team? Do I get a jersey? How do I know? Do I get a medal? How do I know if I'm on the right team? Well, I'm going to break it down very simply for you, because I often find in life, especially with biblical things, the most simple things are the most powerful and the most essential things. How do I know if I'm on the right team? Well, number one, you love Jesus. You love Jesus. Now, don't think of this as a Sunday school answer, like, hey, boys and girls, love Jesus. Not that. I want you to understand, you love Jesus. How many here have somebody that they love? How many there have somebody they love in this room? I should have more hands than that. Right? Okay, good. Yeah. We all have someone that we love, we care about deeply. I'm passionate about this person. I don't want anything to happen to this person. I want to care for this person and watch over this person and provide for this person. We all have this. It's a natural thing that God has given us. But what does your love for Jesus look like? Well, it means first that you put your faith in Him. I know some of you have been Christians for a long time, but remember I told you last night we're going somewhere. We're on a journey so that we understand what it means really to be freed to serve. Some of you are like, yeah, I've been to this church for 20 years. I know what it's, you know, to love Jesus. Well, let's hold on a second and let's really grasp the grassroots of what this movement means. Romans 10 says this about our faith. It says, if you declare with your mouth, everyone say my mouth. With my mouth. When is the last time you declared with your mouth to someone who doesn't know Jesus that you love Jesus? If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. We talked about that last night, the free gift of salvation. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. I think it's interesting in the story of the sheep and the goats how the sheep on the right were righteous and the sheep on the left were wicked. The sheep on the right were righteous. I'm not necessarily pointing to this side of the church, and definitely not pointing to this side of the church. The sheep on the left were wicked. But that there was a definite difference between the two teams, if you will. An eternal difference between the two. Because I always find it interesting reading end time passages and how many people knew that Jesus was coming, but yet still did not accept the life change that comes from Him. It's pretty amazing, actually. We want to be on the righteous side, but the question is, how do we get it? Do I have to work harder? Do I have to join more serve teams at church? Do I have to give more money? Do I have to be more successful? Do I have to be a person who does better at everything? Do I have to be a good person? 2 Corinthians says this. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, let me put it simply for you, that it is impossible for you to become the righteousness of God, right with God, without Jesus. In other words, all your hard work is really for nothing unless it's through the person of Jesus Christ. You see, when I come to know Jesus Christ, it changes the way in which I do everything. It changes the way I serve, the way I love my spouse, the way I parent my children, the way I go to work, the way I spend my money, how I spend my time, the way I treat strangers. Coming to know Jesus Christ changes the way I serve everyone. Because now I'm living in a righteous lifestyle instead of a wicked lifestyle. Some time ago, there was if you've heard about this several months ago, there was a run on the banks. And a lot of people panicked because they thought these certain banks didn't have enough money for them, so they ran to the banks, essentially, and withdrew all their money. It's called a run on the banks. Then the banks basically, for lack of a better term, went bankrupt. They closed down, and it was caused all kinds of problems because people were panicking. And that's a problem for a lot of people, but I want you to think about this in the context of sin. Because sometimes, especially in our culture right now, people view sin as something that happens to them. Like as in, I'm a victim of sin. They did this to me. Sin did this to me. And the problem is, that's not the case biblically. The case biblically is that we are the ones who did the sin. In other words, we're completely bankrupt in our sin. And this is important because as we think about what God's called us to do, it makes us appreciate the free gift of His salvation even more. Because I had the debt that I could not pay, I was completely bankrupt. I was on the side of the goats. I was on the side of the serve me team. And Jesus came in, no reasoning whatsoever, as far as like, I did nothing to deserve it. and comes in and he rescues me from the sight of the goats, and he places me through his righteousness on the side of the sheep, on the side of the serve team. Now I have a whole different reason for living. Now I have a whole different purpose in which I live my life. Now I have a whole different answer to the question, why? Because of Jesus. How do you know if you're on the right team? You love Jesus, and here's where the rubber meets the road. Number two, your love for Jesus causes you to love people and serve them. You guys, this is... it's so simple, but I'm telling you right now, over two decades of ministry, I cannot tell you how many people miss this. How many pastors I talk to that are just banging their head against the wall because people have missed the product that should be coming from our life because Jesus has freed us to serve. That I love Jesus. And that love for Christ drives me, forces me, pushes me, calls me to serve Him by loving other people. And we miss it. So many times we miss it. Because our human nature, our sinful nature, only wants to serve ourselves. I just want to serve me. I want somebody else to serve me. Just a quick glance through the news, and you'll see that as a reality. Don't let that be you. Don't be on the serve me team. I find it interesting, as you read through the story of the sheep and the goats, how the sheep didn't have a record of all of their good deeds. You see, they loved God. The implication here is that they loved God, they loved Jesus. And then there was an outflow of that love for God that poured out into every area of their life. And so Jesus stands before us and says, "Hey, you guys, well done, good and faithful servant. You watched over me. I was sick and I needed clothes and I was in prison." And he goes, "And you guys, you did it." And they're like, "Well, when?" And he said, "Well, when you did it for the least of these." And they're like, "Oh, wow, that's awesome." Because the natural outflow of their walk with Christ bore the fruit of serving other people.
Excellent.
And then the goats, they're standing there like, "Oh man, they got the reward." And Jesus tells them about the certainty of their reward, the kingdom that was prepared for them before the foundation of the earth. That God already knew the reward was coming. And the goats are probably sitting there like, "Oh man, now it's our turn. This is going to be awesome. Get away from me, you wicked people." And their faces probably turn sheet white and they're like, "What? What do you mean? Well, you didn't do anything. You didn't serve. You didn't care. I was in prison. I was sick. You just wanted people to serve you. Like, well, we never saw you anywhere." They're like, "Oh man, when you didn't even do it for the least of these, you didn't do it for me." You see how big of an issue this is? Which team are we on? The serve team or the serve me team? It's like this. The goats wanted credit for something that they didn't do. Do you know anyone like that? There's no one here, I know. But you've been around someone that wants credit where credit is not due, right? They wanted something written on their ledger that didn't deserve to be written there. I was talking some time ago with one of my finance guys, and he's a CPA. He has tons and tons of high-end corporate clients. And we were at breakfast one day, and he goes, "Pastor," he goes, "this is the worst year I've ever seen. This is just in January." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He goes, "People are terrible." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He goes, "Well, they come to me, and they want their taxes done." And he goes, "And I'm a Christian man, and a lot of my clients are Christians." And he says, "Okay, well, how much did you give to the church this year?" And then they'll say to me, "I'll put the maximum amount." And he'll say, no. "There's no maximum amount. How much did you actually give?" "Oh, the maximum amount. Just put the maximum." And he's like, No, you can't. I can't just make up a number. How much did you give?" He goes, "And then it turns out they gave $30. But they want the credit for giving more." And it's the same principle with our life. That sometimes we get into this kind of habit where we want credit where no credit is due. The goats wanted credit where no credit was due. And the sheep followed Jesus, and the outflow of that came out of their life in serving other people, because you cannot love Jesus and not serve other people.
That's right.
It's impossible. And out of their life came this outflow of fruit and service and love to Christ that Jesus said, "Man, I have got so much on your ledger. It's been prepared for you for a long time." Because they were on the serve team. Oftentimes in our life, we want credit where no credit is due. So how do we know which one we are? Let me explain to you how the kingdom of God works. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "For by grace you have been saved." Everyone say, "By grace." Okay? It's grace from God. Through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, watch this, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Everyone say, "To do." Now I'm going to read that part again. Created in Christ Jesus. When we come to know Christ, the Bible uses this terminology called being born again. I have a new birth. I move from death to life. I shed off the old person and I put on a new person. I'm being recreated in Christ Jesus. And in that new creation in Christ Jesus, God has planned for me to do good things with my life in His name. It says, in Christ Jesus to do good works, what? Which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we're not saved by our good works, but as you know, for good works. And a lot of people in my church, I have a lot of new believers, and they say, so is God expecting us to, like, we got to work for our salvation? No. It's not about this whole thing where I got to work for my salvation, because you're not saved by your works, even after you're saved. Because you're saved by God's grace through faith in Him, in Christ alone. But there's this concept in Scripture that teaches us that when we get saved and we come to know Jesus Christ, that the outflow of my life is that I begin from day one, I start working for eternity for the glory of God the Father. And it's not in the perfection of my life, but it's in the pursuit of Jesus Christ. And so I follow after Him. And we have to watch ourselves, because complacency sets in. And when complacency sets in, we start doing nothing. Even if you know Jesus. And all of a sudden you go, "Nah, I don't want to do this. No, I don't want to. I don't want to." And we forget that we're on a mission. We're on a mission. To do what? Serve. We're on a mission to serve. Jesus, 1 John puts it this way. It says, "For anyone who has material possessions and sees a brother and sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person?" In other words, how could you possibly not serve? Like, I think it's so ridiculous to God and His mindset to think, I don't understand how you're not serving. And I don't say that to beat anyone up, but it is a question that we should have in our life. How are you not doing anything? We have a great commission. Go into all the nations. Make disciples of every person, every nation and tribe and tongue. And teach them to obey the commands of God. Not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. And the reward is certain. Revelation 22 puts it this way. It says, "Look, I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me." Everyone say, "Reward." "And I will give to each person according to what they have done." The goats did nothing. The sheep did what was right in accordance with their relationship with Jesus Christ, because the fruit of our life should bear the love of Jesus Christ. The question we should ask ourselves is, if Jesus gave me so much, all this free stuff we talked about last night, how is it possible that I would not give Him my entire life? And serve Him with every fiber of my being, in my work, in my marriage, in my parenting, in my social relationships, and definitely in the church. We have been freed to serve Jesus Christ and to give Him all the praise and glory, not to our own accolades. The goats did not have a book saying, "Oh, look what I've done," but to this whole thing where I just do it simply because I love Jesus. I've been freed to serve. I want to pray with you this morning. And as we pray, I want you to consider a couple of questions. And those are these. Number one, in what ways does your life reflect your love for Jesus? And where are you serving right now? And who are you serving right now? These are questions you need to ask and you need to answer. And maybe we need to have a heart check and say, you know what, God, help me to serve you and to worship you. Not because that gets me saved, but because it shows my love for you, because you have planned these good works for me to do, and I want to do them. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we're so thankful that you have called us to serve. Lord, not for our own credit, not for our own glory, but Lord, for your great name. Lord, you've given us so much because of your gift on the cross. Lord, we've been freed from so much that we live in this kingdom of freedom. Help us to not use our freedom for selfish things, but help us to use our freedom, Lord, to build your kingdom, to seek your kingdom above all else in your righteousness. Lord, I pray for this church as they launch into the next many years, Lord, of good things that you have for them. I pray that they would always, as they always have a heart to serve you and to give you glory, as you've called us all, Lord, to be free to serve. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.